Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who makes a way in the wilderness for us. That you are a God who meets us even when we quarrel against you, and you give of yourself to us, rivers of living water. Because our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And so, Lord, we give you thanks that today you invite us into your rest. And we pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you might shape our hearts and draw us to yourself. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That's what our psalm today said in Psalm 95. After proclaiming God's praise and his surpassing worth, the psalmist turns to remember the events of this Exodus reading, Exodus 17, this provocation at Massah and Meribah, and reminds us and exhorts us not to let our hearts be hardened as they were then, but through praise to become alive and whole and softened before the Lord, to enter into his rest. Today, typically on a Sunday morning in a sermon, we'll take one of our four passages of Scripture and dive deep into it and go through it exegetically. But this week, as I was praying through all of our passages, it just felt like the Lord was bringing this theme together through all of them. And this theme of do not let your hearts be hardened before God. So, I want to do kind of a risky thing today and go through all four of our texts and look at them together and find this common theme. And just as a side note, I want to ask you all to hold me accountable to not do this too often because, you know, the risk of finding this kind of golden thread in preaching, golden thread through all the texts, is that sometimes the preacher can insert his own ideas, his own views, reading them into the text rather than drawing God's truth out of the text. We humans, I think, are capable of reading whatever we want to into God's word, so we really need to be careful with this kind of preaching. This is the way I felt like the Lord was leading me this week. So to tackle this today, I'm going to try to hold all these passages together, bouncing back and forth between Exodus 17 and Romans 1 with Psalm 95 as our framing verse. And then we're going to look at the ministry of Jesus. Because I think today's passages give us a glimpse of the way in which our hearts can be hardened before God. And how hardened hearts can be softened and healed by the living waters of Jesus. So first, I want to look at what a hardened heart does. Then we want to spend some time in how a hardened heart grows, how a heart becomes hardened, and then we'll look at what Jesus does to hardened hearts. So first, what a hardened heart does. Both Exodus 17 and Romans 1 give us pictures of what a hardened heart looks like and how it acts, that it turns away from God and it turns into sin. A hardened heart rebels against God, fights against God's plans and designs, and choosing its own paths. The hardened heart is discontented with how God might be leading, dissatisfied with our circumstances, and figuring that we would know better. And so it rebels. Fighting against God's plans and designs, they reject God, rebelling against him and setting themselves up as Lord. With hardened hearts, they choose rebellion. And a hardened heart then is given over to evil and things contrary to nature, given over to sin. Again, turning away from God, rebelling, and turning toward sin. Romans chapter 1 is quite explicit in what this looks like. Long lists of sins, and especially highlighting sexual sin as one of the primary results of a hardened heart. Not the only outcome, to be sure, but a significant one that is worth us today being clear on. So Paul in Romans 1 specifically highlights homosexual acts as the result of a hardened heart that's rebelling against God. And we should be clear that in our day and age, that Scripture is unambiguous on this point, and in several places, that same-sex sexual acts are sinful. But we can fairly surmise, I think, that all sexual sin can fit into this bucket as the fruit of hardened hearts that have been hardened against God. So, adultery of all kinds, as the command says, pornography, unfaithfulness, sexual gratification pleasing us and not serving our spouse. Our collect that we prayed today calls these things disordered affections. Disordered affections that God has made us and our desires to be good and rightly ordered, and sin disorders them. So, especially when we talk about sexual sin, we in the church need to be clear. We're not talking about identity. That's one of the category errors that the world makes of taking desires, exalting them to the level of identity. This is who I am because of how I feel. That's not any category that Scripture has, and that's not how we as the church need to relate to the world. But that these desires that are disordered are a result of hearts that have been hardened and in rebellion against God. Romans 1 goes on to say that these people are filled with all kinds of unrighteousness. And in this long, exhaustive list at the end of our passage that I'm pretty sure that none of us are exempt from. All of these things that are the result of a heart hardened and in rebellion against God. And our passage closes in Romans 1, verse 32, by saying, not only do they do these things, but they give approval to those who practice them. So those whose hearts are hardened are not only committing these sinful things in rebellion against God, they are promoting it and celebrating it among others. And we see this fairly regularly in our culture. But these are those whose hearts have been hardened. These are those who have, by their unrighteousness, suppressed the truth, Romans 1:18 says. And so God gave them up to all kinds of consequences of their evil. And he says the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against these things. The wrath of God will come against those whose hearts are hardened beyond repair. Whether in this life or in the final judgment, if God is going to be just and good, he must come against evil with his wrath. And sometimes God's wrath looks like letting people have what they want. That they're choosing and clinging to their own demise, like clinging to an anchor as they sink down into the ocean, ignoring the life vest that God throws to them. C.S. Lewis said in his work, The Great Divorce, there are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, Thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, Thy will be done. God gave them up to these disordered desires. That is part of his judgment. So many of us probably know and love people whose hearts have been hardened in this way, who are living in active rebellion against God and his plans and his designs, who are choosing for and even celebrating sin and wickedness that's dragging them down to hell. Maybe your heart has been hardened in some of these ways. But today we don't want so much to point fingers at the world and the hardened hearts of those people over there, and about how God's judgment is coming against them. Because our exhortation from our psalm is, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. So we want to be people who are paying attention to our own hearts. We want to be people who hate our own sin more than we hate the sins of our neighbors, and who let the judgment and the mercy of God come and address us before we look to the world and try to pass judgment on others. So That's kind of what a hardened heart looks like, what the fruit of a hardened heart looks like that we see in our scripture passages. And I think we can also see through our passages how our hearts can become hardened. That's what I want to pay attention to in the next few minutes here. How our hearts can become hardened, that we might pay attention to this in ourselves. First thing that I think we can look at is how our hearts will become hardened is through forgetting God and neglecting Him and not honoring Him for what He has done. In Exodus, we read in chapter 17, we're following after the fact that Israel had just miraculously passed through the Red Sea in chapter 14. And then they miraculously received bread from heaven in chapter 16. And now they're turning against God, rebelling and quarreling against Him about lack of water. Had they so quickly forgotten the wonder-working God that they were following? Had they been so quick to forget His gracious salvation and provision? A hard heart begins by forgetting God and not honoring Him. Romans 1 says the same. In verse 21, Paul says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened," or their foolish hearts were hardened, because they didn't give thanks, because they didn't honor God. That's what the Christian life is called to honor God, to give thanks in all things, that everything you and I have is a gift. And to neglect the discipline of thanksgiving and honoring the Lord is to slowly let our hearts be hardened because we're not acknowledging where all that we have comes from. So this forgetting and not honoring God among those who should know better, I sometimes refer to as functional atheism. I think many of us sometimes struggle with this and are guilty of this. I know I am sometimes. Functional atheism, where you profess with your mouth, but your heart is far from God. Where you say, "I believe in this, but it doesn't really affect my day-to-day life." You know, you've got to ask, are you in your day-to-day life, your hour-to-hour basis, are you living as if God were really real? Are you living as if He was really a factor in your life? How much does your life differ on the outside from your atheist neighbor or coworker? Not honoring God in your daily life, not giving thanks for every gift He has given. Are you a functional atheist at times? So a heart, as the memory hold Israelites ask, is the Lord among us or not? In Exodus 17, verse 7. Is God actually real? Is He really good? Does He actually care? Is He really relevant for my day-to-day life? So a hard heart starts with lack of gratitude, not acknowledging God, not honoring God in our day-to-day life, letting our hearts become hardened before Him. The second way our hearts can become hardened is by grumbling against God because we think we know better. The Lord had led the congregation of Israel into the wilderness and had led them to a camp at a place where there was no water. And they grumble, saying, "You know, sure, He led us out of Egypt, but couldn't He have made it more convenient for us along the way? Maybe we were better off back in slavery." So what's the source of this kind of grumbling is the attitude of saying, "I know better than God. He is not doing a good enough job in the directing of my life. I'm not happy with how He has led me, and I could certainly do better. If it were up to me, things would look a bit different around here." This is self-centered and entitled thinking that leads to grumbling, that leads to a hardened heart. The self-centered and entitled thinking that thinks, "God doesn't want me to have fun. God doesn't have my best in mind. He doesn't have my happiness and pleasure and comfort in mind as He's directing me here." It's this testing of God, even when we've tasted and seen of His goodness, even when we've seen His salvation, of pushing back, thinking that we might know better. So an entitled and self-centered mode of thinking will lead to grumbling, which will lead to a further hardening of heart. The third thing I think that we see that leads to a hardened heart is making cheap exchanges and compromises. Romans 1:25 says, "They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." This serving the creature rather than the Creator is called idolatry in the Scriptures. Serving created things, giving ourselves over in worship to things that are not God. And this can happen in big ways and in little ways. It can start with straight up idol worship, which isn't really our problem in this day and age, but it can also go to worshiping ourselves, our own plans, our own agendas, our own political agendas and parties. But it usually starts with the small stuff, the small compromises. Are you ever exchanging the glory of God for lies or for lesser things? Think about all the small exchanges and compromises we might make throughout our days. Soft-pedaling your convictions to be liked or respected by someone else. Choosing to give in to that craving rather than your commitment to fast for a day. Picking up your phone instead of praying. Little exchanges, little compromises. Exchanging the glory of God for lies, half-truths, conveniences, and for created things. Slowly hardening our hearts. Slow compromises building to bigger compromises. Small exchanges leading to ever larger exchanging of the glory of God for lies. So we need to be mindful of how our hearts become hardened so that we can learn to spot the warning signs in ourselves as they arise. And we are exhorted, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Do not forget or neglect God. Do not grumble against him, thinking you know better. Do not compromise with him. Remember God. Honor God, trust him. This is our call. This is how we can go about that task of hardening not our hearts. So now that we've looked at what a hardened heart looks like, how a hardened heart comes about, we want to look at what the Lord Jesus offers in the face of hardened hearts. Hearts that are in rebellion against him and devoted to sin, or even those hearts that might be along the way. He gives living water. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well and uses the opportunity to minister to her. This woman, who was lost in sexual sin, who was living in shame and didn't really know herself, who deflected away from the personal conversations and redirected towards theological controversies. I think it's fair to say that she had a hard heart. Jesus offers to her living water. Waters welling up to eternal life that come from him. Jesus says elsewhere in John that these rivers of living water, that's the Holy Spirit, his very presence given to us to give us life, abundance, joy, the echoes of eternity lived here and now. Jesus gives living water, the waters of forgiveness, the waters of baptism that wash away all of our sins, the waters that provide eternal satisfaction. Whoever drinks of these waters will never be thirsty again. You will be satisfied. Your restless heart finding rest. He gives living water to soften our hardened hearts. Think about times when I'm doing the dishes after a delicious meal and you get those pans that are just crusted over with all the goodness that's left over and you're trying to scrub them and scrub them and scrub them and it's not going anywhere, and so I, being lazy, often let it soak. Let it soak in the water and let those waters soften it up so that they can be cleansed and washed away. Water is softening. Water is healing. Water is purifying. So the Lord Jesus offers himself in his Holy Spirit as living water to soften hard hearts. And we receive this living water by believing in Jesus and worshiping the Father in spirit and truth as he calls us to. And where the hard heart turns away from God and towards sin, the softened and repentant heart turns away from sin and toward the Lord. That's the life of faith that he gives to us. But it's the Lord Jesus who offers himself first so that we might be softened, that we might turn to him. So what a mercy that when we are a people who are hardened, when we are quarreling and grumbling against him and we forget him, he still offers himself. Jesus still offers himself, that even while we were his enemies, he still died for us. Look at how he does this in Exodus 17 and verse 6. I just noticed this the other day, and I think the Lord was directing in this way. Exodus 17 verse 6, "Behold," God says to Moses, "I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people shall drink." It sure sounds to me like God is placing himself on the rock and commanding Moses to strike him. The Lord lets himself be struck in order to provide for his people, to let living water flow and satisfy their thirst. And as Paul says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10, that rock was Christ. As blood and water poured from his side when he was struck, the living water that comes from Christ is his Holy Spirit. It comes to us as he gives himself for our sake. Jesus gives to us living water that will heal our hardened hearts. Do you know that Jesus, just as he knew the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, Jesus knows you. He knows your sin. He knows your heart. And still, he gives of himself for you. Water flowing from his pierced side in order to heal you. Ever reaching out to you in love and in mercy, so that you and I might exchange this heart of stone and receive a heart of flesh, a heart that is softened and malleable, placed in the hands of our loving Father to be formed and molded as he will. So I want to encourage us and ask us to hear the Lord's plea. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Be mindful of your heart posture toward him. Mindful of the ways that your heart has been formed by the world, by the devil, by your own flesh, by the ways that we've been neglecting him, by the ways we've grumbled against him. Mindful of the ways that we exchange his glory for lesser things. And to let Jesus heal you. Let Jesus soften you. And be your Savior. So, not letting our hearts be hardened is our responsibility. To be vigilant and watchful, to guard our hearts with diligence, for from it flow the springs of life, Proverbs 4 says. That's our responsibility, to guard our hearts. But the ministry of healing belongs to Jesus and only requires of us a surrender. To let down our defenses, to surrender our hard hearts, giving them unto the Lord Jesus. So would you and I today receive the living water that will satisfy our souls, will heal our wounds, and be a balm to our rebellious hearts. That Jesus is good. He desires your blessing. He desires your best. And when he says, your heart has been hardened, it's not a cry of judgment, it's a plea of mercy. Surrender this unto me, he says. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your ministry of healing. We thank you that you do not shy away and you are not ashamed of us when our hearts have been hardened. You do not reject us when we have been in rebellion against you, when we have neglected you, when our hearts have been hardened against you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you offer yourself to us. And so give us the grace to receive those rivers of living water, the gift of your Holy Spirit that will be for our healing, for our wholeness, for our purifying, for our repentance. This comes from you alone, Lord Jesus, and so we ask that you, in your mercy, would hear us, would minister to us in your grace, and give us the grace to give ourselves to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.